You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, your host, Patrick Van Straten. I'm sure you're bored of me by now, but you're not bored of our two guests today. It's Sam Obaseki. Hello, Sam.
Hello, bro. How are you doing?
I'm good. And Henry Hill, hello.
Yes, hello, hello.
How are you guys doing?
I am. I'm just going to start off because I'm having a great week. You know what I mean? In terms of football, my team are amazing, if we're going to be honest. We're amazing right now. And the gyms came back today, so everything is just on the up. Like, you know what I mean? I can't complain.
I feel exactly the same way.
Sam, I've got an issue with your team because it's called Under the Radar, and yet all you seem to do is spam social media with your, with your team. So, like, there's nothing under the radar about your cleverly named.
We came in under the radar so we can be over the radar. You got to think about them ones. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
It's a play on words. It's my Sunday league team. Henry's talking about Pat. My Sunday league team were called Under the Radar. And
not a good name.
I think it's a great name actually. A lot of the players weren't seen as much. You know, a lot of the players wanted to get into, you know, semi pro football or non league football, and you know, this is giving them the platform because they were under the radar to go over the radar. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure you go over the radar. I think you're either under the radar or on the radar.
On the
radar,
that's what I mean. But because we got so much attention now, we're over the radar.
What, with the radar just like explodes as soon as it pings you? Oh my God. Henry, how are you doing?
Mate, I'm good. I'd love to say I play for a semi-professional football team, but I couldn't be further from the truth. I played for Dorking Fifths the other day. a proud entity of players ranging from 16 to about 45 years old. And yeah, we had a double header back as our first game. I'm sure many people have the same, which basically means we have to play two 60 minute matches. Ooh. And I think there was a general emphasis on me being kind of one of the more fitter players that I ended up having to play about 110 minutes, but it was truly awful. I mean,
did you win the games?
We won 1-0 and then we lost 3-0, and ooh, one of the goals was blatantly my fault. Like, I've completely let I've gone in for the most pathetic tackle and let him just go past me, and just had to hang my head in shame, really. But yeah, I think that was fine. That was honours even, 3 points each. I think everyone's a winner. But yeah, double headers. That is going to be the how it all goes for the rest of the season. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, see, I'm looking forward to sports coming back, but I realised that I was invited to go and play tennis with someone the other day, and I know that he's pretty good. And having been to the gym this morning, I'm pretty certain that if a tennis ball hits a racket that I'm holding, my hand is going to pop clean off. Like, I was just like trembling through my workout this morning. I was so weak. I'm completely not up to it at the moment. But you know what? Gym is back. I'm getting a haircut this afternoon. My wife is on maternity leave as of today.
Oh, nice.
So it's wow. It's all happening. Oh, wow. Just ended the podcast.
No, you know what's so bad? I thought my connection was going. Henry's like frozen, and obviously I can't see you as well. So I was like, what's going on right now?
No, I think viewers need to know that Sam keeps adding himself to the call about two or three times. So we have about three different versions of him which keep popping up.
Yeah, my connection's moving nuts. Sorry, guys.
But you've got a picture of yourself in the background as well. So I feel like there are about eight of you during the like 5 minutes before we started this podcast.
People always get onto my picture in the background. Are you not supposed to hang pictures of yourself in your room. No, why? Why is that not a thing? Why is that?
You're going to hang
thing?
Them in other people's rooms, Sam.
But that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, the image is very inspirational for myself. You know what I mean? A big campaign. So I thought, you know what? If I put that campaign on the wall, when I wake up, I feel motivated to be the man I see in that picture. You know what I mean? No?
I mean, that's an annoyingly good description.
Thank you.
I actually own a... I don't know if I should admit this on the podcast, but I actually...
Oh, my God, go on.
Oh, gosh.
I own a portrait of myself naked winning Wimbledon in front of the Queen.
Why and how is that even a thing, bro?
I a little known fact about me, I used to be an archaeologist back in the day, and I used to... I was doing a dig with another archaeologist, and she was an artist as well. And she said to me, if you could have anything painted of yourself, what would it be?
Oh, my God.
And
oh my God.
As a joke, I said I wanted a naked portrait of me winning Wimbledon in front of the Queen. And she actually produced it. And I've got a whole... I'll send it to you guys later. But it's real. It is real.
That is
and,
so my mum.
But my mum's like banned it from our family home.
Rightly
that sounds
so.
Amazing.
Right. It was like embarrassingly good when it turned up in the post. I was.
Oh, is
I was
it? Is it, is it anatomically correct? Was it a warm day at Wimbledon?
Right. It looks like a second racket, you know, flopping around.
Hey, what is going on?
Right, let's talk about some football.
That's a good start to the week's podcast, I think. They were coming in hot. So this week, we're going to talk a little bit about El Clasico and the effect that it might have had on La Liga's title race. We're going to talk about the Champions League predictions. And we're going to talk about a very odd conversation between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Jose Mourinho that's currently playing out in the media, which, frankly, we had to discuss. And I didn't really want to talk about Jesse Lingard. So should we start in Spain with El Clasico? Because normally... this year, this hasn't really felt like a big fixture, but the results of this particular match could be felt in the title race in quite a significant way. So Real Madrid beat Barcelona 2-1 on Saturday. They've done the double over Barca for the first time since 2007-08. Goals came from Benzema, who backheeled in his 19th of the season. And then Toni Kroos got the second free kick that kind of pinballed him. Barca did manage to get one back through Mingueza in the second half, but couldn't quite equalise. Sam, to start with, I'd just like to talk to you about the game. Who do you think were the standout performers in the match? Do you think the game was won and lost?
I think it's just this. They've got the seasoned players in the right positions. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Barcelona and Real Madrid are going through like a similar period where they're not at their best. Is quite evident. You can see Barcelona not at their best. Real Madrid are not at their best. But I feel like Real Madrid keep on getting the results because they've got Benzema, they've got Modric, they've got Cruz, even their back line, they were missing Ramos, but the rest of the players, like Vasquez, he's just become a solid right back. I don't know what's happening because I never actually rated him ever. I've never rated that guy ever. Yeah, but since he's gone right back, he's delivering the goods. Even in the final third, he got the assist for Benzema's goal. And yeah, I think players like Benzema, I think Benzema is just... he's just one of those players that you've learnt to love and appreciate more, especially because of Ronaldo leaving. Like, the type of striker he is, I don't even think we have that many strikers like him in the current game. He can do everything. He's hold up players amazing. He can get past a player at his age. Like, he's scoring big goals. Like, and his videos on Instagram are wavy as well. So he's got the full package. Like, but yeah, I think Benzema and their midfield, Modric and Cruz were their main players.
Yeah, well, obviously in this game as well, Casemiro was kind of at the centre of things. He made 9 tackles and interceptions, eventually got sent off in the 90th minute. Benzema's an interesting one, right? Because it almost feels like this season some of the older strikers are having really good years. Yeah. And I wonder if that's partially because they're great players, but I think maybe the slower pace of this year that has been kind of enforced by COVID... is perhaps benefiting them a little bit more than usual. Mm. But that said, Henry, I thought that Vinicius Jr. was really decisive in this game. And obviously, coming off that midweek game against Liverpool, do you think that he's taking a step forward at the moment? Do you think he's somebody they can rely on in the future?
Yeah, I mean, just to eagle-eyed watchers of Continental Club will know I've actually been very critical of Vinicius for a lot of this season. But, I mean, once again, fair play to him. Three chances created, three dribbles completed, and four tackles and interceptions as well. He is stepping up, and I think that's actually, just to kind of elaborate on what Sam was saying there, that is why Real Madrid are suddenly looking so strong, because for a lot of the season, Benzema was carrying the squad, and suddenly even players like Asensio are stepping up to the plate. And you're right, just all their players are coming good at exactly the right moment, which is quite interesting, because this will be the second season in a row that that's kind of happened there. And suddenly Real Madrid looked like a really cohesive unit, and we saw that against Liverpool as well. Really impressive. I don't think it really got the kind of respect it deserved, that 3-1 victory over Liverpool. You know, it was a very professional display. But yeah, Vinicius, they've clearly challenged him to improve his output, because there's always been those amazing kind of dribbles, amazing moments, but the end product has really been lacking. Those two goals against Liverpool were brilliant. And once again here, he's stepping up and being a provider. And let's not forget, like, Benzema was quite rude about him at one point. Obviously, caught on camera saying, for the love of God, don't pass the ball to him. He's playing against us almost. Which is, you know, a really kind of damning thing for him to say. So yeah, like, I still think that Vinicius has to do this on a more consistent basis. Yeah. I hope he does.
He's still young,
like,
though, man.
He is still like 20 years old, but he's played over 100 games for Real Madrid now. And I was beginning to think Rodrigo's maybe... Yeah, he's played a lot of football for Real Madrid. Rodrigo has obviously been he's been coming on and showing a bit more form recently. But it is vital for Real Madrid for these kind of players to pay off, because they obviously completely shifted their transfer focus towards trying to get these younger, more exciting players from South America, get ahead of the market, as it were. And it doesn't, you know, and it's important for them that it works out. So I'm pleased for Vinicius, and it's good to see him finally coming good. But yeah, this was a big opportunity for both sides, really, to step up pressure on Atletico Madrid, who drew again against Real Betis.
They're gonna bottle it. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's done. It does look that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
Really, is that what you guys think? Because I was going to say, like, now we've got Barcelona, I think, on 65 points. I think Real Madrid on 66, and Atleti on 67. Now, Barca have the best goal difference. But I was looking at 538, you know, like the statistical prediction company. And they now have Atleti rated as the third most likely to win the league. And Barcelona first, because, of course, Barcelona and Atleti still have each other to play in a couple of weeks' time. So what do you guys think? Like, Sam, do you feel then that Atleti are kind of... Well, you've said they're bottling it. But do you think that they're genuinely going to bottle it?
Yeah, I just don't... The thing is, with Atletico Madrid, I feel like they were doing better than everyone thought they were going to do, mainly because of how bad Barcelona and Real Madrid were, But I feel like Barcelona and Real Madrid have picked up form at the right time. And unlucky for Atletico, they just don't seem to... They're not clicking as well as they were at the beginning of the season. And I think Messi, this might be his last season at Barcelona. This would be the perfect way to bow out, you know what I mean? And even at Real Madrid as well, there's some players that still have that chip on their shoulder saying, yeah, we can do it without Ronaldo, we can win leagues and that without Ronaldo as well. So I feel like the motivation at Barcelona and Real Madrid are just different, and they've got better quality players in key areas for me. So yeah, I think Barcelona are going to do it. I agree with that predictor, because Messi, you just can't count him out, you know what I mean? He's going to carry them until he leaves, and hopefully he does leave, because I want to see that happen.
Me too. I mean, I was looking at his stats in this game. I mean, he didn't score or assist, but he had 7 shots, created 2 chances, completed 7 dribbles. And I was looking at who scored, who do their own man of the match based on the stats in the game, right? They've given him man of the match in 8 of his last 12 games, in which time he scored 12 and assisted 6. Though, I do have to say, there was a really funny moment in this game. Ferland Mendy kind of pulled down Martin Braithwaite in the box. Messi went over to the ref, complained, and the ref, Gil Manzano, said, "Do you know the rules of football or not? If you don't, then I'll explain them to you later." To Lionel Messi, which I think is a real power move. I mean, Henry, Sam thinks that Barca are going to go ahead and do it, but Barca, as we said, do have Atleti to play, whereas Real's toughest fixture left, I think, might be Sevilla. Do you agree that Barcelona are going to do it? Because Real Madrid, of course, also have the Champions League still to contend with and could go further.
I mean, that the Champions League could be, what, 3 more games? 4, I guess, maybe 4 more games max. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's going to be a massive burden. I think they've got Fede Valverde is just coming back in at a bit of the right time. So obviously Casemiro is going to be missing, but that's going to be important. I still think Real Madrid, they're both on the right path, both got the right momentum. But I do think that victory in El Clasico will put Real Madrid in the ascension for me personally. Just quickly on Atletico, they play Huesca and Eibar next, who are both right near the bottom of the table. Mm. So that's going to be a real telltale sign for where they are. And I think their problem really is just the goals have dried up completely. Marcus Llorente has not scored, I think, about 8 games for club or country, or got an assist. And he's obviously been like a big driving factor for them. Suarez as well. And then João Félix, he's kind of disappeared, hasn't he, in the second half of the season?
Yeah, he has.
After we all kind of raved about him at the start there. Even like Thomas Amal, everyone's like raving about his transformation as a centre midfielder. He's still not really producing massive numbers, certainly for what they're looking for. Whereas the other side of the coin, Barcelona have a whole plethora of players who are capable of scoring at the moment. Even like Trincao is capable of popping up with a few goals. Even Ansu Fati is going to be hopefully coming back, fingers crossed, for the run-in for them there. So they've got a hugely exciting kind of core. I did a scout report on Ronald Koeman and how he's technically transformed them and rejuvenated some of the players there. I mean, it's interesting that Oscar Mingueza score again. He's come out of nowhere, hasn't he? Become quite a prominent feature in this Barcelona side. And I think that's quite indicative of what they're doing there. So I don't know if it's necessarily important for Barcelona to win the league this year, because I think they're really looking up, and they've got a Copa del Rey final this weekend to look forward to. So any trophy in second place is important for them. I actually think for Real Madrid, it's a bit more interesting whether or not it may be more important for them to win the league, because they're going to have to go through a big transition in the next few years, because they can't keep relying on these kind of seasoned midfielders to sort of dig them out of jail later down as the season wounds on.
No, but you know what you know what you're saying, Henry. I hear what you're saying about Real Madrid kind of needing it more, but at the same time, Barcelona, if they don't win this title, like, this will be the end of Messi at Barcelona. Do you get what I'm saying? I feel like this is their last hope. This is their last hope of keeping him, saying, okay, cool, we're going in the right direction. Because last season, last season he carried them the whole way. They didn't win anything. And then this season now, he's still carrying them. Koeman's giving him a bit of a different role. But at the same time, his goal contributions in his last 12 games are mad. It proves that he's still their main man. And I feel like he still wants to win things. Well, this is me talking like I'm Messi in it, yeah. But if I'm Messi right now, I'll be like, okay, cool. There's PSG, there's Man City. These two teams have other stars in their forward line. Not saying that Barcelona don't have stars, but it's just not on the same level. And we're not winning. Do you get what I'm saying? And they've got, how are they going to improve next season when the Real Madrid's, linking their links with Mbappe and Haaland? Barcelona, the only transfer talk that we've heard from them is the players that they're letting go. Like, that's not really going to be something that you'll look at that project and think, yeah, I'm going to stick it out. Obviously, he's a Barcelona legend, so it might be different. But if I was Messi, I'd cut out.
I respectfully disagree. I think, you look at Ronaldo's move to Juventus on a personal level, like trophy-wise, hasn't really worked out. I think he's still done incredibly well. I don't think that's necessarily any fault of his own. The money involved in signing Messi, irrelevant of a lack of a transfer fee, is going to be huge and astronomical. And I do think that Barcelona, the future is looking okay, certainly under Koeman. I think Pedri, Fassi, they've got this, even Ricky Puig, he hasn't really played much. Ilaiš Moriba, they've got a really solid young core. Koeman looks to have got this project moving on. And if they do make some of the smart free signings, which it looks like they will do, Eric Garcia, even Gino Wijnaldum, say what you want about that.
But they're not good. But they're not big signings, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
Memphis,
saying...
Memphis Depay. Like, I think Messi's a realist. He's 33, turning 34 years old. I think to flip the switch at this point, I think he could be enticed to stick around for this project a little bit longer of a new president. I would be surprised if he moves. I think he's had better opportunities to move in the past, and he hasn't taken it. I'd be really surprised if, after the positive end to this season, he really did decide to up ship. I completely hear what you're saying, but I just think to uproot his whole family at this point with a project which looks like it could be going in the right direction, I'd be really surprised to see that.
I agree with you both a little bit. Like, I think that if Barcelona don't win the title, it would be an easier decision for Messi to say goodbye. Mm. Especially if, say, Man City do offer him a good contract and they win the Champions League. You know, I think that would be quite tempting for him. On the other hand, I do agree with you, Henry, that like Barcelona have actually ended up having a far more positive season than I think we could have anticipated. Mm. And I think currently they're clearly the best side in the league. And really, it kind of depends what Real Madrid go and do this summer as to what Barcelona's chances are to win the league going forward. Like, I think that, you know, if Real Madrid go out and buy Mbappe, then yeah, sure. Like, you haven't really got that much shot at a trophy there for the next couple of seasons. Maybe then I would think about moving. But if they don't have the money to do that, why not stick around and end your career a one club man, probably win another title or so?
I was even trying to be polite, you know what I mean? But
Sam, you say your piece, then I'll crush you.
You know what it is? You know what it is? I hear what you're saying, Henry. I hear what you're saying. I hear the sentiment, you know, Barcelona legend, one man club and all this stuff. But at the same time, for a man that's won so much in his career, he doesn't seem like the type of guy that will look around and see Real Madrid building what they're building and what they're going to build for the future. If they do land an Mbappe or Hallinger, and then you're looking over at your squad and you're seeing, okay, cool, yeah, we've got the young cheese coming through, but what world class players are we going to bring in to challenge for the Champions League? He hasn't won a Champions League in time, bro. Like, that's something that he wants to win. Do you get what I'm saying? And I feel like a new project might be the perfect time for him to actually look at a new project and say, yeah, there's something in it for me. Like, I don't think that obviously he's won everything at Barcelona in it, but to say that I was going to say there's nothing left for him to do at Barca. Obviously there is, because it's Barcelona and he's a legend there. Yeah. But at the same time, him going to PSG or going to City, like, that would just be, do you not think that would be sick, bro? Like, even just as a fan, like, do you not want to see Messi wearing that, a different shirt for once? Like, that, I'm here for the storyline, to be honest.
No. Listen, I think PSG would be hugely exciting for him, because he's almost guaranteed to win. I think PSG is certainly going to make sure that a season like this doesn't happen again for them in Ligue 1. I do think that would be exciting. But there's more of a team than signing Haaland or Mbappe isn't automatically going to solve the issues at Real Madrid.
It is going to change the whole dynamic, bro. Like, you sign a world-class player, your whole team changes, especially that type of player where, like, obviously, we've seen signings fail, like the Hazard going to Real Madrid, like that signing failed, yeah. But at the same time, like, even him just coming in, you can see the threat that it brings. You can see the other teams fearing, are they going to be like this again, or are they going to be like that? With Barcelona, you can't. There's players that you can say, oh, Pedri, he's going to be a star for the future. Fatty, he's going to be a star for the future. But at the same time, if you're Messi and you're looking around and you're seeing all these young G's coming through, it's going to be exciting, but it's not going to be as exciting as if they were going to get a Haaland or Mbappe to come and join you. Like, I feel like you're underestimating the fact that he enjoys playing with world-class players, and he has through his whole career. It's only now that he's playing with players that are coming up, that they're good players, but it's just not the same level.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. But on the other hand, like, you might be underrating, like, his attachment to the club. Like, I agree, as a fan, I want to see him come to the Premier League. I think even if it is Man City, and even if, like, I have to watch my team get crushed by Man City, like, twice a year, which happens anyway, like, I mean, I would like to see it happen. And I would like, finally, for it to end this conversation about Messi's only done it at Barcelona.
Exactly.
But I'm not in Messi's mind, and I don't have that connection with Barcelona. And so you can imagine, like, when you said, what is there left for him to do in his career? Well, perhaps he looks at it and he's like, you know what? I've actually won every trophy at club level.
Yeah.
The only thing there's left to do to cement my status in the history of this club is to stay and not to leave, to retire here. That's the one thing that's left that Messi could do at Barcelona, become a one club man.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Xavi is definitely joining at some point in the future. He's just led Al Sadd to the unbeaten season in like the Qatari, whatever, the Qatari League. I mean, take that as you will. I think Xavi is definitely going to come back. I think there's still aspects to that project that he still wants to be part of, and I completely agree. He's won everything. He's got 6 Ballon d'Ors. Obviously, he does want to compete in the Champions League, and it's, you do see that pain on his face when they do lose. But
it hurts him, bro. It hurts him.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would hold it against him to stay, and I think that's probably Barcelona's argument too.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we're all going to agree on this, and I think we need to move on. So, Sam, I'm afraid that that you've been cut off and you've arbitrarily lost this argument.
I just want to see Messi in new colours, bro. I just want to see Messi in the Premier League. I get that.
I think everybody wants that. Like, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you'll see it in about 5 years when he joins Newell's Old Boys for like 1 year. I'll send you a shirt when he does that.
Okay. Well, I think we were going to talk about Ollie and Jose next, but I think actually we should go into the Champions League because of where we left that. Hmm. So should we pick up with Real Madrid Liverpool? Because obviously Real are going into the second leg at Anfield off the back of this big win, off the back of an excellent performance in that 3-1 defeat of Liverpool last week. Liverpool had a bit of a tough game against Villa at the weekend. Frankly, I think that they did win, but I also thought they should have. There was a penalty shout that should have been given that somehow was not. 5:38 give Liverpool about a 20% chance of going through. Sam, how do you feel about Liverpool's chances? Do you think they can overturn this? Do you think they will overturn it?
I think it's done, man. I think it's done. I don't
really.
Without the Anfield atmosphere. Like it's just going to be completely different. Like that's something that they could rely on to carry them through, and it's been proven to be a factor in previous fixtures, isn't it? So for them not to have that, and for them to not really, like you said, they didn't really they scraped the win against Villa. Like they just don't look as confident. And I think it starts from obviously their back line, but even going forward now, sometimes you see Mane and Salah, like they're just not working as well as they used to. Like Jota, I feel like Jota coming back is big for them because he just bags goals regardless, in it. Like he just gets in the right position and he just scores goals in it. But with Salah and Mane not really banging, and like that game against Rome, the first leg, they were just not on it at all. Like, and for such a big fixture, like you need those type of players to kind of give the rest of the team motivation. Do you get what I'm saying? Because even when Trent made that mistake, it's like he couldn't even look at his other senior players to like get him out of such a situation. He just had to deal with it. Like, and he was like, that was mad. After all the conversation that they've been having with whether Trent should go to the Euros and all of that stuff, for him to head it back in that situation, it was just, yeah, I felt for him, to be fair.
So you just don't see it happening under any circumstances?
Yeah, I don't think. They might score first, but I just see the experience of Real Madrid to just carry them through. Benzema to score a goal, or Cruz or Modric to just get involved. Like those players there, like the experience that they have at this stage in the competition, I don't see Liverpool doing it this year. Okay, man.
Henry, you were nodding while Sam was speaking. Like, do you totally agree, or can you see any more hope for Liverpool fans?
No, I don't think so. I was just looking. Real Madrid haven't conceded more than one goal in a game. They've only conceded more than one goal in a game once since the start of December in La Liga. I think that's pretty solid defensive form. Yeah, that experience running through the side. I don't think Casemiro will be missing for that game either. No. I was thinking about that Barcelona game when Liverpool's famous comeback. I can't see the same emotions taking place. And actually, I watched the Atalanta second leg, and Real Madrid played a tactically beautiful game, I thought, and hit them on the break as well. And if Vinicius is in the kind of form he's in at the moment, Liverpool are going to have to push for a goal, and I think they will get caught out eventually. If Kabak is playing at the back, whatever makeshift kind of central back pairing they have, I don't think they're going to be able to deal, certainly with Benzema, who, you know, just not, well, the risk of going back to him, is one of the in-form strikers in the world football and has been for a while. So yeah, for me, this their game is running the Champions League this year, and they should just focus on their domestic form, trying to get top four for Liverpool.
Yeah, it's kind of the perfect situation for them, isn't it? Having that two-goal cushion going into the second leg, they can just run out the same counter-attacking plan that they did. I don't think Klopp will get it wrong in the same way that he did in the first leg, but I'm not sure he can get it right in such a way that it makes up that two-goal deficit. So should we have a look at Man City and Dortmund then? Now, Man City and Dortmund, I thought this first leg was tighter than I expected.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, so you think this will be closer in the second leg, Sam? Because as we know, Sancho is back, but Hummels and Royce may be missing. Both went off injured at the weekend. In actually what was a pretty impressive victory over Stuttgart. Obviously, City lost against Leeds, losing against 10 men, never great. But you're reasonably confident that... well, I guess, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
If City didn't lose to Leeds yet, I would feel like Dortmund kind of have a chance. But I feel like City do these things on purpose, you know? They find the league. Well, obviously, they're going to win the league, innit? But like they have to have like a down game to just come out firing. And I feel like them losing to Leeds is just going to give them extra motivation to just kill off Dortmund. Do you get what I'm saying? Silence all the doubters before it even comes in, because they're definitely going to look at that game and see and say, oh, the weaknesses that they had from the weekend. And then they're going to come into this game. I think it's a bit weird because I don't understand why he's not playing Sterling as well. Like some of his decision making recently, obviously they're clearing the league, but some of his decision making in some of the games I've been questioning. And even in that game, I feel like they dominated good periods of the game, but at the same time, they just didn't look like they're ruthless selves. And I don't know if that's maybe because their wide men aren't banging in, Gundogan's not getting as many goals as he used to, but there's something that's not clicking. But I think it will click in this game because of that Leeds loss. Like that's okay. I feel like they're just gonna come firing, and yeah, they're gonna it will be like 3 or 4. To be honest.
Wow, 3 or 4. Yeah. Henry, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm quite excited for this game. I think Dortmund don't have anything to lose. I think they're going to go...
No Hummels, though.
The injustice of that Bellingham disallowed goal.
Oh, yeah.
It says, you've got it here, 5-3-8, give Dortmund a 16% chance of going through. It's the old age saying of the first goal is going to be hugely important, but it really is. I think if Dortmund can hit City on the back foot, they've got the ability to score goals. That's one thing you can't take away from Dortmund. As you said in that Stuttgart game, there were, certainly for the first goal, just real frailty at the back. But at the other end of the pitch, they can create chances, they can let off shots. Royce has been scoring again recently. I don't think this is as clear cut as it's made out to be. If Lyon can get the better of City as they did last year, and they haven't looked great over the last few games. Obviously, they dominated Leeds and just got hit with those two goals. But if Dortmund can be intelligent, try and hit them on the back foot and get an early goal, then I think this could be quite a nervy game for City because they don't have the pedigree of going deep into competitions like this. So, yeah, certainly the Madrid-Liverpool, the Porto-Chelsea game, which for me is a foregone conclusion, the Bayern, I kind of not sure, but the Dortmund-City game, I'm really excited to see how they approach it. It could be over, like Sam says, in a matter of moments. I think City could score twice and they'll be like, well, that's it. But if Dortmund can just poke their noses in front, then I'm settling in for an exciting game of nervy football.
No Hummels, though. Like, I feel like... players like, obviously we know he's an older player, but at the same time he's an experienced person in their back line that is already fragile. Like, they concede goals that defensively they're just not good enough, and I feel like City didn't even exploit that as much as they could have in the first leg. Maybe there was some jitters and there's some nerves for the first leg, but I think going into this game, if they score early, I'm telling you, 3 or 4 is happening.
Yeah, but the thing is, those nerves go both ways, right? Like, I mean, I agree that like Dortmund do have nothing to lose. Like, Dortmund can go out and play how they want. Whereas I do think, I'm obviously like not the biggest mentality guy like at Football Daily, but I do think that the City players know that they've underperformed in this competition, and I think they will feel more pressure in this game than they would have felt in any game this season so far. And I don't know how they'll deal with that because, you know, also it's not like Dortmund are rubbish. Like, Dortmund are pretty good. And so all it takes is one moment of weakness. And suddenly, you know, like if Dortmund go 1-0 up and they can hold out, then they go through. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Sancho likely to be back as well. Big game, big moment for a lot of these players to step up, and a lot of these players who maybe are looking to get moves as well this summer, this is how they're going to force the agenda, really. Sorry, forgive me. My washing machine is turning my bedroom into a space rocket right now. So I don't know if anyone's picking that up.
But, I can't hear it.
But yeah, if my screen starts shaking, that's why. But yeah, I'm really excited for this. I'm really excited for this game. I just don't think it's as foregone conclusion as. And you say that about Hummels, like. They've been conceding goals all year with Hummels in the side.
No, definitely. That's what
Akanji,
I'm saying.
Akanji's played all right recently. Akanji's been improving. Mm. And I'm just going to... Yeah, you never know with these kind of games.
Okay, well, I think we'll skip over Porto-Chelsea.
Whoa. Pat, what's going on? What's going on? At least say we're going to win the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't just skip it.
I don't know if you're going to win the game, but you've won the tie. Like it doesn't matter. Like you're 5:38 give Porto a 1% chance of going through to the next round.
That's generous.
Yeah. I mean even though Porto were pretty good in the first leg, it just doesn't matter. 2-0 down, there's absolutely no way. Chelsea maybe not, but their weekend performance might be a sign that attack is just starting to click, and if so, this could be an absolute bloodbath. So, like, shut up about Chelsea.
Thank you.
Sam.
That's all I wanted from you, Pat. I just wanted some nice words about Chelsea from your mouth, and I got that. So, thank you very much. I appreciate
I didn't. I didn't enjoy it. I feel dirty about it. But Sam, I'm not going to ask you about Chelsea because I'm not an ass kisser. Tell me about Bayern and PSG instead. Tell me about that game.
Oh no, this game's going to be mad. This game is so exciting just because I really want PSG to win just because I love Mbappe and Neymar, yeah, but also the fact that Bayern Munich dominated that game so much, like they dominated that first leg and they couldn't get the dub, yeah. But I'm just hoping that happens again. Like I just want Mbappe to school them again, and I also don't want him to leave PSG as well. So I'm hoping if they get to the final, my dream final is a PSG Chelsea final, yeah, and then we win.
Well, why would you want that? You're definitely going to lose.
No. Don't say that. because we're in the runnings of winning this, innit? So let's not even get it twisted right now. We're in a very good position. But my theory is, we get to the final against PSG, yeah, then we win, yeah, and then Mbappe comes to Chelsea.
I mean. Let's just move on from that. Henry, what do you think? What do you think Bayern's chances are of overturning this game? Because obviously no Lewandowski, no Süle, I think probably no Goretzka, though they're not quite sure on that. He may make it back.
That's a big miss, actually.
It's not sure, but it's possible.
Süle, I'm not too sure that matters necessarily. But I still think it says here 29% chance of going through according to 5-3. I still give them more of a chance of going through. If PSG can turn up and score three at the Allianz, then I think Bayern are equally capable of doing the same at PSG. And we saw PSG look really nervous against Barcelona in that return leg. And Bayern don't have... Bayern have got a lot less to do than what Barcelona did there. Just missing Lewandowski is such a big shame, isn't it? Because we saw Choupo-Moting...
Yeah,
did give off a few gilt edge opportunities in that first leg. So I'll be interested to see the starting lineup of Bayern Munich, whether or not they just push Thomas Müller further forwards and bring in some other players behind them. But I feel like someone like Gnabry could have a really big impact in this game. I think he could turn up. I still, it's difficult. I don't know who's favourite for this one. I really don't. It's hard to say. Obviously, PSG have that advantage. I still think Bayern Munich could pinch this one.
I'm going to bat PSG to go through. I mean, I completely understand where you're coming from, but I just think that advantage, the sensible money is on PSG, right? Yeah. Like, so would we... So, I don't know. Like, would you say PSG... You'd say PSG overall, even though you think it's possible Bayern go through. Is that fair?
I think hopefully Pochettino just gets them to maybe shut up a little bit and just look a bit more airtight. But... I mean, it's all well and good creating opportunities. You have to score, and they weren't that capable of doing that in the first leg. So maybe PSG will try and limit that opportunity again. So yeah, all right, yeah, PSG, why not? I want to see them go further.
Yeah.
Oh, clean sweep for PSG across the board.
Let's go. Mbappe double. Mbappe double. I'm feeling
another Mbappe double.
Yeah, man. I feel like he's on a mission to prove why. Actually, I don't know.
Sam, I'll tell you on a mission that he's not on, and that's joining Chelsea. He's not part of his. He's not part of his.
No, but
his
like
zero chance of that.
You know what is? I think after that final, cup final last year. Now, this is a fair point. Yeah, after that cup final last year, I think he's just on a mission to win the Champions League, man. Like in the Barcelona game, I feel like he's just got a new energy. Like he's a bit fearless. Like even the second strike when he was facing up Boateng. He just looks so confident, and yeah, man. If the reports are right about him wanting to leave PSG after this season, this would be the best way to bow out, like winning them the Champions League. And also, Neymar is just being Neymar, and he's just on form in it. So I think, you're not going to be able to stop them scoring. So I think PSG, it's going to be a PSG win, man.
Yeah, I think, I mean, by the end of this summer, Mbappe could have won everything there is for both club and country if he wins the Champions League and the Euros. So we're going to end this week with an excellent story, this. Jose and Oli, who've gone at each other after Man United's comeback victory over Spurs at the weekend. Now, obviously, there was an extremely controversial moment in this game when Man United... It was probably one of the more high-stakes decisions you'll ever see because Man United... went and scored after Scott McTominay had sort of slightly handed off Heung-min Son. And for a moment, it looked like the decision was either going to be a goal for Man United or potentially a red card for Scott McTominay.
Yeah.
Now, in the end, it wasn't given as a red card. Before we get into this, can I just ask you guys your opinion on this? Because to me, I was kind of like, it does look a bit intentional, and so it is going to get given. But on the other hand, it is... soft, it's not much of a touch. Like I didn't quite know how to weigh those things up. I thought it was a bit silly of McTominay.
Yeah, I don't know why it got such a negative reaction on Twitter as it did. I think I've seen goals ruled out for much less than that and had less of a reaction. I still think he did strike the guy's head, strike Sonny's face. Flying hands. You don't like to see it because it was a nice goal, but I'm not shocked that goal was written off. And I think the whole like, oh, the game's gone. Oh, the game's it's in disarray. all that kind of bullshit nonsense which people come out with. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if that's necessarily relatable to this goal. I think some of the offside decisions of the weekend were far more pressing than what happened here, quite frankly, in my opinion. But yeah,
agreed.
I'm grateful for it. Because of the EastEnders-esque drama that it's produced, so that's the only kind of positive, as far as I'm concerned.
Sam, can you disagree on this?
I'm on the fence. You know, I'm on the fence. I'm a bit like you, just because I hear it. Like when they said that the referee should go to the monitor, I knew he was gonna disallow the goal, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, cool. That the palm off wasn't that mad. But at the same time, he did make contact with him. Like, he actually did make contact with him. Obviously, he stayed on the ground for much longer than he needed to be on the ground for. But that's what footballers do now. You got to sell it. Like, if you get fouled, you got to sell it. Because sometimes, if they don't sell it, their team goes down or whatever. And then they'll be complaining to the ref. And I think it wasn't one of those situations that we've seen in the past when we're saying the game's gone and all this stuff. Because realistically... it's just dependent on the referee. If it was another referee, they might not have even checked it. Do you get what I'm saying? But I think the referee on the day saw the situation, saw Son on the floor, and thought, let me go see what happened. He got a palm in the face and then disallowed it. You know what I mean? If he had seen it, then he might have blew his whistle earlier, but he didn't see it. So I guess that's what VAR's for. But it was kind of soft. It was kind of soft.
It was a bit soft, and I think we all know that if like Son had a chance to go through on goal himself and somebody had palmed him off like that, he would have definitely stayed on his feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, like, the ref watched it back and it looked like McTominay kind of intentionally slapped him in the face, and it doesn't matter how hard you do it, you can't do that. Like, if McTominay went up and flicked him in the face, like, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So, anyway... I think it's fair to say that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was not best pleased. So I think what we're going to do in honour of how incredible this exchange is do a little dramatic reading. And I'm looking at Henry and I'm thinking, a natural Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I'm looking at Sam Obaseki, and I know that he's itching to step into the shoes of his favourite man in world football, Jose Mourinho.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Henry, could you please read what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said about Heung-min Son after the match?
I'm not doing his weird off Norwegian.
No, you don't. Let's leave accents. Let's leave accents aside. I think that's sensible.
I was all thinking in my head, how am I gonna do a Jose accent?
All right.
You could do them if you want. I give you permission. Oh. It would be amazing. But,
okay, here it comes. Here it comes. If that was my son and he stays down and he needs his mates to help him up, he doesn't get food because that's embarrassing. The game's absolutely gone. If there's a clear and obvious error, it's an obvious error. He had to look at it. It was a perfectly good goal. They were conned. We weren't conned. The referee was.
I mean, that was incredible performance. What an incredible performance. I was wondering though if there was like, did he get it stuck in his head because Son's name is Son? Did he look at it and be like, if that was my son,
yeah,
like, and kind of get confused about it? Like, I was wondering what was going on there, but let's not get distracted by that. Sam, if you would please take over this,
Henry.
To be honest, this is a whole lecture that Jose gave response.
This is mad. But first of all, Henry, that was amazing. I thought the accent was amazing. Let me see what I'm saying, yeah. First of all, let me tell you something. What's my Jose saying? Is it good or should I just go carry on the normal? Just carry on.
Power through.
I can't do this seriously. I'm just gonna read it normally. I'm very, very surprised that after the comments that Ole made on Sonny, you don't ask me about it. Because if it's me telling the player A, B, or C from another club, if it was my son, I wouldn't give him dinner tonight. What would be the reaction of that? It's very sad. Very sad. I think it's really sad that you don't ask me about that. It's sad you don't have the moral honesty to treat me the same way as you treat others. In relation to that, I just want to say that Sonny is very lucky that his father is a better person than Ole. I am a father. Think as a father. You always have to feed your kids. Doesn't matter what they do. If you have to steal to feed your kids, you steal. Now, this bit was deep. He said, doesn't matter what they do. If you have to steal to feed your kids, you steal. I'm very, very disappointed. As we say in Portugal, bread is bread and cheese is cheese. I told Ole already what I think about his comments, and I'm very disappointed that in 5, 6, 7 questions, you ignored the dimensions of that comment. He obviously was not happy.
Wonderful. Wonderful. He was not happy at all. I mean, is there anything we can add to this discussion? I thought it was sort of a perfect interaction.
You know what?
Proper nonsense.
First of all, I don't know what Ole's thinking of bringing that analogy of if his son did it. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like Ole goes into press conferences and he tries to be funny, and it's just like, bro, you're not that funny. So just say your comments and then just walk away. It's like, if my son did this, mate, we're not asking. You know what
all I mean? These guys who played under Ferguson think that, like, the only thing I think they learned from Ferguson was to be a hard ass.
Yeah.
It seems like they didn't learn the other stuff about how to be an incredible, like, man manager and an amazing tactician. The one thing they took from him is they were like, well, you know, Ferguson won a bunch of titles because he was a hard ass. Like, everybody else wasn't a hard ass in the 90s. Like, it never makes sense. So afterwards, you get, like, Keane and you get Scholes and Giggs and Ollie, who just say stuff like, yeah, well, obviously, if that was my son, then I'd just, like, you know, put him in a bag and chuck him in a river or something. It's like, no, that's not the lesson you should learn from this.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, it's from Jose's perspective. I kind of get what he's saying, but
I feel him.
It annoys. Do you remember that when he fell out with Frank Lampard? Because Frank got overexcited about something and he was like, oh, Frank, you need to learn not to be like that. You need to learn to calm down on the touchline. And Frank seemed really annoyed about it. It's like, well, Jose, you've been doing way worse than that your entire career. Do you know what I mean? Like, what Ollie's come out and said here isn't actually, in the grand scheme of things, isn't that shocking. He's just made like an off comment about, you know, his son, whatever. And, yeah, for Jose to come back in that kind of really combative approach and bread is bread, cheese is cheese, I think that's more indicative of his current state in the game. I love Jose Mourinho. It really upsets me to see what's happening. But I think this is just him. He's been outwitted by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I don't think he ever imagined in his wildest dreams Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would have more credibility as a manager as him, like legitimately.
Let's not take it too far. Let's not take it too far right now. And that's what I'm not going to allow to happen in it. Because from my perspective, what I'm seeing from this Jose comment is the fact that a man is very worried about how Ole treats his children. And he's...
Oh my God, Sam. Oh my God.
You know, because the way he's talking is just like he actually seems concerned, bro. Like, he's telling me that in his country he's saying bread is bread and cheese is cheese. What does that mean? Someone just tell me what that means.
Well, I think they both look like idiots. But I'm very grateful to you guys for adding what I think was some dignity and gravitas to that particular exchange. And thank you very much for being on the podcast today. Is there anything that either of you would like to point to before we say goodbye? Sam, have you got anything coming out?
No, I don't think so. Do I? No, I don't. I'm confused. Snapchat, that's what I was going to say. Snapchat, if you're on Snapchat, go and subscribe to Football Daily. Also... Yeah, there's new, like we said in the last episode that I was on, actually, there's new ideas in the works that are going to come very soon. So look out for them. And yeah, we'll need your opinions and your interaction. So yeah, that's it for me.
Oh, cool. Henry, have you got anything else?
Well, obviously, big week on EFD because we've got ERU and various kind of Champions League reviews. So make sure you tune into all of those. If you haven't seen last week's Continental Club, we did the worst signings of the season. It's quite controversial, actually. A lot of people reacting to our inclusion of Osimhen and Alexander Sorloth, who's actually been scoring again this weekend. So listen to that. And then we've got another video on what makes Zlatan so special, an explained video there. So go check out all of that great content if you have the time.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks, guys, for joining me today. And thank you to you for watching or listening at home. We hope to see you or be heard by you next time. Catch you later. Bye.